Okay, it's good to be here this afternoon, and we're going to prepare ourselves in our usual way by having a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is so wonderful to be here and find out more and more about the things you did in eternity past, the things that you are doing now, and the things that we are going to look forward to in the future. You have everything covered. And we are here to learn and grow in grace and knowledge. We want to reach spiritual maturity and have all so many blessings. And we can do it, not because we can, but because of your grace. So we thank you for that and pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this evening. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start out tonight with... Let's see. It just went off on me for just a second, but I can get it back. There we are. We're already there. Okay. We're going to start with lesson 25. Okay, we ended with the animal sacrifices that cover sin. And when it means cover sin, they could not take away the sins of the world like Jesus Christ did, because he was the real Lamb of God. But they would, God would put a temporary cover over their sins to show that he wasn't allowing this just to happen. Somebody had to pay a price, and it was an animal. And that was looking forward to the communication of when Christ was in the reality going to go to the cross, and he would be able to forgive take on the sins of the entire world, and that's what we were looking at. So we're going to start right off the bat with lesson number 25. We all have personal sins which were imputed to Christ on the cross and judged, and this imputation is possible only because when man is born into the world, he receives the imputation of human life, and simultaneously the imputation of Adam's original sin as the basis for his condemnation before God. Now, I know for people that haven't heard this before, and even for some of them that have, they get mixed up. But there are certain things that had to be taken care of in eternity past, which God did take care of. And this is the way, the only way that the people, both believers and unbelievers, would not go to the lake of fire of hell, because Jesus Christ was going to pay the price that they owed. He took him on his own body, and he took care of the sin issue for every person that ever was born. No one goes to hell for their sins, because Jesus Christ on the cross took care of all the sins of the world. Now, in a moment, I'm going to show you some charts, and you'll see how all this comes to be. It's much easier to read a chart and put it together than just words on paper. So you notice that this next paragraph starts with a bold, very important. Condemnation always precedes grace. 100% of the time, all the time. So the issue with mankind was God loved mankind, and he wanted to save mankind from his sins, which he accomplished. But grace cannot be a part of anything until someone has been condemned. And we're going to see that all of us were condemned by Adam's original sin. And I'll show you in the charts and so forth. But just remember, you'll stay on course, grace is phenomenal, but God's grace could not act with Adam and Eve until they were condemned, and they were condemned when they ate of the forbidden fruit. Y'all got that much now? There's two things that have to be when Adam sinned. Of course, the scriptures say that God told Adam, "The day that you eat of the forbidden fruit, you shall surely die." And of course, and he did die, but he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. And we'll see those on the charts anyway. But just remember, grace can't do anything until someone has messed up, someone has sinned, or something like that happens. Then grace can come in and save the day. Every person who has been born or will be born receives the imputation of Adam's sin, of Adam's original sin, which condemns us before God. Now, everybody look up here. I want to explain something to you. When I read something like this, or I'm explaining this to someone, that every person that has ever lived received the imputation of Adam's original sin, which condemns us before God. Now, keep looking up here. Don't try to read ahead. What does that mean to you? I mean, God is going to condemn us and we didn't do anything? Now, you can look at the deal over here. Many think that it is a horrible thing to do for Adam's sin to be accredited to us, and we then are condemned. Many think that that is a horrible thing to do, but actually, it is the very best thing God could do, because it puts all mankind under God's grace. God's grace could not happen until they sinned. And then it goes to work. So, the very best thing God could do was to condemn us, because it would then put all mankind under God's grace. Remember what we have up here? Condemnation always precedes grace. Grace is a wonderful thing, but God's grace can't act until there is someone who has messed up. Now, I'm going to stop here, and we're going to go to charts in just a moment. Now, Adam was the head of all mankind. He represented all the humans that would come after him. So his original sin was imputed to all of us. You understand that? In other words, when they saw Adam, when he sinned, God took his sin and everyone was imputed with it when they are born. And so, so man is born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And now I'm going to go to the chart I was talking about, and this is really going to show you a lot of things here. I need to just put this away, and I need to put this away. I need to put this away. I put this away. I have a lot of things putting away, aren't I? Okay, I'm going to put this over here. I don't want that there. I don't want y'all seeing all this. I'm just going to have to go down. I don't know how to put it on here without everybody seeing it, because it's not working. Let me try it again. Y'all just don't look at this for right now. Uh-oh. I just moved something that I didn't want to move. Let's see, I'm going to take this and put it up here. It'll work when I do it here. All right. I'm going to go to the first one. Where's this slideshow? First one. Okay, I'm sorry for all that, but it wasn't working like it's supposed to, but we got it. All right, we're going to start with a scripture, Romans 8:28. Most of y'all have heard it, or some of you may be able to quote it. And we know that to those, and you, I'm filling in the blank so that you'll understand this. And if you had your Bibles out, you could put these blanks in there, and then you wouldn't have to worry about it again. You would see it every time. And we know that to those mature believers, we're talking about mature believers here, who love the God, which is Jesus Christ, He, referring to God the Father. See, if you don't have these helps, you don't know who He is, and you don't know where is the God the Father, or where there's Jesus Christ, or what it is. If you put them in your notes or in your Bible, then you'll know it every time. So I'm going to start over again. I'm going to get a shot of water here, of tea. And we know that to those mature believers who love the God, which is referring to Jesus Christ, then we have a He. He, this time, is talking about God the Father, works all things together for the purpose of the good. And we're going to see on the chart this reference. So God is taking everything. He's taking mature believers and who love God, and God the Father works all things together for the purpose of the good. Well, what is the good? Well, it says right here, the plan of God, X plus Y plus Z. That's the good that we're going to see on the charts. And this is what Romans 8:28 is referring to. So the good, the plan of God, X plus Y plus Z. To those mature believers, which we mentioned earlier, who are the called or the elect ones according to His predetermined plan. Now, we're not just going to anchor it right here, but we understand that God's plan was made in eternity past, and He wants the good for us. And this, what His plan, we will unfold in a few minutes. See X plus Y plus Z, and what He did for every one of us should be able to reach the good in this equation. So, this is another way to put it here. God's predetermined plan, X plus Y plus Z, consists of 7 imputations. Now, if you don't know what an imputation is, I'm going to show you on the next slide. Consists of 7 imputations which can be demonstrated by an X plus Y plus Z formula. Now, when I went to Baraka Church for the first time, Carrie was a blind date. I mean, she wasn't blind, but, you know, I had not seen her before. And she took me to the church for the first time. And when she saw that it was X plus Y plus Z formula, she said, "Oh no, I wish it was anything but that, because, you know, that he probably won't like this at all." I loved it. I mean, it just really taught me so much in just a short time. And so maybe that's one reason we got married. I don't know. Okay, now here's what it's similar. Something is what it's going to look like. The green X is the unbeliever. You know who the unbeliever is or was? You and me. Every person that is born is an unbeliever because they're spiritually dead. And that came from Adam's sin. So that's the first thing we see is going to be the unbeliever with the green X. The next one is blue. And this is when someone, obviously, when they are no longer a believer, is because they believed in Jesus Christ, and now they go to the next step, the blue, and that is the believer. They are a blue, the blue means that they are a believer then. And then the last one is Z. That's as far as you can get, because there's nothing past the mature believer and the things that a mature believer gets in eternity. So that's what we're going to be looking at, something like this, but I'm going to be explaining things to you as we go. First of all, I said I would tell you what an imputation is about. Imputation. The English noun is derived from the Latin verb imputari. I-M-P-U-T-A-R-I. And it means to reckon, to attribute, to ascribe, to charge to one's account. So that's what imputation means. It means that something is being attributed to you or charged to you or is going to someone's account. That's what just a regular imputation is. Now, down below, imputation is used in the Bible as an act of God whereby He either has condemnation or blessing which is ascribed, attributed, reckoned, given, or imposed on the human race. So God is going to impart something that is part of this imputation. And sometimes it might be imparting great blessings or it might be great cursing. It just depends how it is used. But it's something that you receive. God, you don't have anything to do with this. God, if He's going to give you an imputation that is good, well, that's fine, that's great. But if God gives you an imputation because you have disobeyed or whatever, that's coming too. You don't have anything to do with it, but God is going to give you an imputation, and then it's for a purpose, which we'll see. There are two categories of imputation. This is really important to understand. The first type of imputation is real imputation. And this is, and I'll give you the definition. The justice of God imputes under the principle of antecedent. And antecedent is something that it belongs there. Or an affinity. Both those words are kind of highfalutin, but all they mean is the justice of God imputes where He wants it to go. That which is imputed is in harmony, agreement, or affinity with the target of the imputation. So it goes where it belongs. Y'all got that? This is a real imputation, and it is imputed to who it belongs. Now, the next thing we see here is judicial imputation. And now, this type of imputation is different. And on the charts, we hadn't got to the chart yet, but when we do, you'll see it even has a different color, and it's got a different look. So a judicial imputation is an imputation where there is no affinity or harmony between what is imputed and the home or the target of the imputation. So a real imputation goes to where you figured it would go. Let's say that you had a ball team and they needed some, let's say they needed bats. And so the imputation to them would be something that has to do with bats, or it might be bats. In other words, it's going to where it's supposed to go. It's useful. It's the target for it. But in the judicial imputation, it's just the opposite. It's going to go where it is not. It's not in harmony with. It goes to a place where it doesn't belong. And there's two of them. They come in two sets. And you'll see this on the chart as well. And so you see at the bottom of here, it says, in the plan of God, there are two judicial imputations and five real imputations, which makes seven. And this whole thing that I'm talking to you about is the God's seven imputations for His plan. Do y'all have? If you have a question or anything, just throw your hand up. I don't care. But I'm gonna. If you don't say anything, I'm just gonna move on. I don't hear anybody saying anything, so I'm gonna move on. And I think we're gonna get to the thing here now. Okay, now this all this is showing here, this isn't the chart, but it's going to give you some information. And when you look at that, you might look, well, I never was good in algebra. I don't know what this is talking about. It's not about algebra, but you will know what it means once we get to the chart. But this is the X. What did I tell you? The X, the green X. What would that? What is that representing? The unbeliever. And we all, at one time, were unbelievers. We were born spiritually alive, and spiritually alive and physical death. No, just the opposite. It's physical death and spiritual life. So we start with the HL, and what does that say under it? Human life. Now, I'm going to have something to say about that also, because there's contention about human life, when it began and all that type of thing. But it starts with human life. God the Father is going to impute soul life to a person that has physical, he's physical, but he needs its soul life. Then we're going to add AOS. Anybody can, what is that? Adam's original sin. And you say, well, why? This is where he's going to be condemned. And remember, God has to condemn us before he can give us grace and save us. And that's why Adam's sin is imputed to us. And these both are real imputations, because they go where you thought, well, that's probably where they would go anyway. And then we have an equal sign, and this says P1. And what does it mean? It means a potential. So when you have a human being that now has eternal life, and he has Adam's original sin, it presents a potential. God can work with that. But every time, this one is a little different than what the chart actually says. This says the potential that's going to take him forward is Bible doctrine, but what it really is the gospel, because a person that is spiritually alive and, physically alive and spiritually dead has the potential, if they get the gospel, this is what it is, they don't know anything about Bible doctrine, but if someone gives them the gospel, then it goes across, equals H1. Now, what is H1? It says right under it, hope. So you went from the unbeliever going through these two things, which were imputations that goes where they're supposed to. It developed a potential. The potential is if somebody gives them the gospel, then they have hope. They hope that they're not going to go to hell or go to the lake of fire or anything. They have hope. And now we have that plus out there. What does that plus mean? I guess you could say that. For right now, all of this has come to the point to where now a person has help, but he's not saved until when? When the hope turns into reality, when a person believes the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see what we got here now. Okay, now we're starting to get to one-third of the chart right here. Now, this is easier to see. You notice that at the top you have the green X. That means he's dealing with unbelievers. Imputations at physical birth. This is what happens at birth for every single person. It's always been this way. First of all, we have soul life that has imputation to biological life. So, biological life isn't human life. You remember the HL, human life? They need a soul. And when the moment that the person is born, God imputes his soul, their soul, to their biological body or their life. Okay? And so, that, by the way, everything that's yellow are imputations. So this is physical birth. Soul life is imputed to biological life. And then you have a human life. And then you go over, let's go over to the next yellow one, and what do you see there? Adam's original sin. And Adam's original sin is imputed down to his old sin nature. Now these are two different things. And I've got a chart that's going to show three ways that every person is sinful. So God imputed that Adam's original sin to the old sin nature. Now the old sin nature came by the old sin nature is with generations. I thought I knew how to say that. Anyway, over the old sin nature develops through genetics. That's all I'm going to tell you for right now, because I don't want to get going the wrong way. So now we have this two imputations go to the right place. Now, look at the bottom of these. You have the HL there that stands for what?
Life.
Human life. A body without a soul is not human life. The first man, when God created Adam, what did he do? He created a body that was fully ready to go, but it didn't have a soul. So he breathed into Adam soul life, and bam, he was a human life then. It's kind of like having a computer. A computer is ready for you to use it. It's got everything it needs. And the only thing is, it can't do anything because you have to plug it in. And when you come plug it in, boy, it comes to life. And that's what happens when God gives this biological life, the soul life, by breathing it in. And that's when that soul life begins. Then we have plus AOS. What is that? Adam's original sin.
Oh.
See it up here? Adam's original sin. Remember, these the things that are in yellow are imputations. And he imputed this Adam's original sin to his old sin nature. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a very good thing. And that's talking about condemnation. Because God can't do anything with this phenomenal, just unlimited grace to give to someone, but He can't do it until they are condemned, until they sinned. And when Adam sinned, then he was qualified for God's grace. And so then we have next is the gospel. Somebody could tell you the gospel, and you have positive volition, and you agree with it. And that equals a potential one. And the potential here is salvation. Now, I have a couple other charts that are similar to this. But what I left out in this chart is the salvation came through what? Faith alone, in Christ alone. So that potential turned into a hope, and that hope turned into salvation when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what another thing that it doesn't show here is that person still an unbeliever? No, he's going to get rewarded in a sense that he's no longer an unbeliever. Now he is a believer. He's a child of God. And he has just so many good things for him. Okay. Now, I talked to you about the imputed sin a while ago. There's three strikes against us when we're born. Every one of us has three strikes against us. Number one is the imputed sin. See, when we were talking a lot about imputation here. God's imputed condemnation of Adam's original sin to our genetically inherited old sin nature. That's what I was trying to explain a while ago. Every one of us has an old sin nature, and I can explain more about that at another time. But this imputed sin, God imputed condemnation of Adam's original sin to our genetically inherited inherited old sin nature at the point of birth, which resulted in our condemnation. And remember, condemnation is what? Good or bad? Say it loud. Okay. And it's good. And then you have Romans 8:23, Romans 5:12, and 1 Corinthians 15:22. Those are all verses that demonstrate what happened with imputed sin, with Adam's original sin, and it resulted in his condemnation. And I already said that's the very best thing could happen. Number two, inherited sin. That's different than imputed. When Adam fell, doesn't mean he fell down. It means when he sinned, he fell from God's grace. Well, I take that back. He didn't have grace yet. I'm just used to say that. When Adam fell, he acquired an old sin nature, OSN, and we inherit this old sin nature, which is a tendency to sin from genetic perpetuation. There's more of those genetics in there, and I don't want to get on there right now because that's would throw us off course of what we're trying to study now. And the third strike against this is personal sin. We commit sins from our own volition. All of us do. Whether we know it is a sin when we commit it, whether we know it or not, it doesn't make any difference. So we have the imputation of imputed sin, inherited sin, and personal sin. And the first one, that type one, is the one that we were dealing with, and the second one too, for the most part. I'm going to go through these. You don't know what they are, but this is some of that genetic stuff, and I don't want to do it right now. Okay. What happened? Okay, here we are. All right. When he went from the unbeliever status to the believer status, he turned as another letter, and that's Y, and it's blue. Blue is showing now the unbeliever. So once a person is born again, once he becomes a believer, is that it? I mean, God doesn't have anything else for him, or is there still a lot of things to look forward to? Of course, it's a lot of things to look forward to. But what we see here is, remember those two judicial imputations I talked about? Well, the first one, judicial imputation number one, will go to Jesus Christ. All of our sins will go to Jesus Christ. Remember, and a judicial imputation means it's going where it's not, where it doesn't belong. Jesus Christ does not it isn't for him to take all the sins upon the world for himself, but he did. That was one half of the two judicial imputations. And then you have plus J2, and here we have a judicial imputation, and that's when God takes his own righteousness and he gives it as a gift at salvation for us. Now, we don't owe, God's righteousness does not regularly would go to us, but when you have our sins going to Christ where they don't belong, and you have God's righteousness where they don't belong, given to man, then it emerges. In other words, that's the way they were made to be. And that's why they're unique, their judicial imputations. And that comes to potential two. Now, potential two isn't about getting saved, but it is about now you... Bible doctrine comes into the stage. I mean, now you have a Bible before you, hopefully, and you can study the Bible, and it equals H2. If I put it O, there'd be water, wouldn't H2O. This is hope. This is another. See, Bible doctrine gives you hope that what the Bible says and God's promises and all these things, you hope that that is going to come to fruition. And again, you have over here the plus means what? It means there's still something to do. And what we know is, well, I'll get it to the chart. You'll be able to see it better. And then we have the mature believer. This is the third specimen. I think plan of God. Is that where that goes? Oh, that's the last one. No. I guess I'll go with this one for right now. So you went from being an unbeliever to a believer, and those imputations will show that you have the opportunity to be have spiritual blessings in spades. You are a believer, but you want to become a mature believer, and so that's what the Z is, and the we have eternal life is what is for the first imputation. These are all imputations here, not all of them, but the first two. And then you have blessings in time. If you're a believer and you're taking in Bible doctrine and you're consistent, then you have a potential through Bible doctrine to have super grace blessings, for example. And we get to the last hope here, which is hope number 3. And that's what's going to happen, is going to describe what happens in eternity. What happened to the thing there? Is it on here, Cam?
Keep going back. Go backwards.
This way? Okay, I think we... Okay, here's the whole thing now. We put it together. First of all, look up here. It says, 7 imputations in the plan of God. This is the imputations that has to be there for God's plan to advance to where He wants us to go. So I'm going to go over these again slower. This looks a little different here. First of all, the unbeliever is a blue X. And these are imputations at physical birth. You have soul life going down, Adam's sin. And you have human life plus Adam's original sin, which is condemnation, which was exactly what we need. Why? Because we have to have condemnation in order to have grace. So you have human life plus Adam's original sin plus the gospel. You're not going to be given Bible doctrine to someone that is unsaved because they don't have a human spirit and they can't understand it. So what we give them is the gospel. So you give them the gospel, and there's a potential one here, that they might accept the gospel. And what happens if they accept the gospel? Then they have salvation. They are saved. And underneath this, right over here, you can't hardly see it, right here, there's the potential. If they believe that gospel, then they have salvation, because it's plus faith in Christ. That's what makes a new believer. So all this happened under the heading of unbelievers, but it ended very well, did it not? You see? Now we're going to move over, because now you're a believer, and that's the why part. And this is the imputation at spiritual birth. We have over here imputation for physical birth. Now you're a believer, and these are imputations for spiritual birth. The first one we see is, just look up here at the cross. See up here at the cross? There are two judicial imputations. See how they're square or square-like? All the other ones are round. These are the two different ones. So what happens is, our personal sin, see it there? Go to Jesus Christ on the cross, which is absolutely perfect. He never sinned, never did anything. But that is a judicial imputation. That went there where it didn't belong. And then the other imputation here is God's righteousness goes to who? The believer. Now, what we're looking at here is the imputations for spiritual birth. And so God takes His own righteousness and gives it to us as a gift. We have to have that or else the game's over. That is God's righteousness. So look at what we have here. We also have those are the two imputations. Judicial imputations. Now look to the right. You see it says eternal life. You see that?
Yes.
That's another imputation. So far we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 5 imputations. Eternal life is imputed to the human spirit. Now, what do you know about that? Over here as an unbeliever, you had a body and soul. That's all you had. But when you became a believer, you also acquired a spirit. Believers have human spirits. Unbelievers do not. So the eternal life goes to the human spirit, and we have God's own righteousness. So what does it look like at the bottom here? You have plus R. Plus R is just God's righteousness. By the way, just look at these first two things. You have eternal life. We can't go to heaven and if all we have is human life. We have to have eternal life, and God gives it to us as a gift when we believe the gospel. That's bam, it's right there. He gives it to us. But not only that, we're a million miles away from being even close to God's righteousness. But we need that righteousness in order to have a fellowship with God. So He imputes that to us as a gift. This all has to do with the spiritual realm. We're done with the physical birth. So we have God's righteousness going to us as a believer. Eternal life goes to the human spirit. So God's righteousness plus eternal life plus Bible doctrine. Notice every time you've got to have. You know what happened if I just erased the Bible doctrine here and I'm going to erase the one over here? Well, nobody would reach the goal because Bible doctrine is what moves you around, moves you forward. You learn more and more things, and now the Bible doctrine develops a potential. This is the second potential. And the second potential, I don't know if y'all can see if it's big enough. It says, SG, blessings in time. What is SG? Anybody know? Super grace blessings. You don't have to just hang around and not have anything to do or look forward to something that's so great. We do have something great. Super grace blessings. Every believer has logistical grace. Logistical grace is giving you anything, the food and the home and the gas and everything. Every believer has that. And that even the ones that are the worst ones or anything, they still got it from God's grace. And that's what they have. But when you... That potential turns into super grace blessings in time. Now you've got something that most people don't have, and this is when God fills your cup to the top and it overflows. And God has given you so much blessings that it flows over to other people who know you, and they are blessed just knowing you. Because God is that super grace, is just what it sounds like. It is super grace. And the people who don't care about the Word of God and they don't have hardly any spiritual life or anything like that, it doesn't matter to them because it's not important to them. But for those who want to get the super grace blessings, it's worth the trip with regards to Bible doctrine. It gets you there. So now we're in this middle one. Now you are still a believer, but you are a super grace believer, which, boom, it gets you right back up at the top where it says mature believers. This is Z. Is there any letters after Z on our alphabet? No. This is the best. I mean, you don't get better than this. So again, we have the imputations of eternity. This was for the imputation was for physical life. And then over here is a believer, spirit of imputations at spiritual birth. Now you over here, you have imputations for eternity. So there is only one imputation left, and we'll go to it. So the first thing we see is super grace blessings. You see where that came from. You're a believer, and you went as far as a believer can go, and then you jump up to be a mature believer. So you have super grace blessings that go down to mature believer. Now you are a mature believer. That means everything. I mean, that even is more. Remember the escrow blessings that I was talking about? We were talking about not too far long ago on Sunday. And you get escrow blessings means that God has had these blessings for people who get to this phase. They have super grace blessings. Now they are mature believers. And what that means is God has been holding up all these escrow blessings, phenomenal blessings. You can't even relate to how many there are and how good they are. And at the point that you get to a mature believer, then he starts releasing all of these blessings. And that's just another feature of what he's going to give to you. And again, the people that aren't interested in the Bible, they don't care about God, they are a believer, but they never get down here to super grace believer. They just complaining and act, some of them, like they were unbelievers. But still, God isn't going to give them the super grace blessings, because they would say, all right, I've got God's blessing, I'm going to roll down. And they forget about God and about all the logistical things that they had done, that they would just, it would actually hurt them, because they would forget about God and all they would concentrate on is on phenomenal blessings. All right, so at the bottom of this we have BT, which is, what does it say? BT? Do what? I can't hear you.
Blessings in time.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Over here, blessings in time. Blessings in time plus Bible doctrine. Always got to have the Bible doctrine, or you're stymied. You just sink. You don't go forward. And this is a potential three. And when you have blessings in time and you have Bible doctrine, the potential is SG, blessings in eternity. What does the SG stand for? We already have super grace over there. What is this? Right, surpassing grace. It's nothing can get better than surpassing grace, blessing. And you know what these blessings, you know why these blessings for mature believers, superior blessings here, you know why they're so much better? Because they last for all eternity. The blessings in time only is there until they get to be a mature believer, and then at the end, just think, there's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any sorrow. And you're going to have phenomenal things that all these people that don't care about that, that's fine. The believers are still going to be going to heaven, but they're going to miss out on a lot of things. And you're going to have surpassing grace blessings. And the greatest thing of all is that it's for all eternity. You don't lose them. And I think that you keep getting more as time goes on, but there's no time in heaven, so I have to figure that one out. But then you see to the left it says, the good of Romans 8:28. Remember that? That was the first verse that we saw. And it is reckoning the Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We went through it. And I had just very little time left. What I want you to see through this, I mean, I know you see circles and squares and all these other things, but what I want you to see is look at the effort and the planning and the love that God has set up for us so that we can get, when we get to eternity, we're going to have things that we could never even imagine here on earth. And what we're doing on earth right now, whatever your attitude is towards Bible doctrine, whatever it is towards Jesus Christ or God the Father or the Holy Spirit, whatever it is so important, because what you do here now in time is going to be manifested in heaven. In other words, if you're a believer and you really didn't want to get too much into it, you're a believer, you did get you believe the gospel, but all these other things you don't have time for, and you've got a lot on your plate, and so you don't really have any spiritual life to speak of, you're still going to be in heaven. And of course, heaven is going to be a great place. But there's a lot of things that the mature believers are going to be able to do that we can't do. The life we're living now is preparing us for the life that will go on for all eternity. And so the more that you have a spiritual life and it's growing with God, and this is what is going to carry on to the eternity. So there it is. I think I have one more thing left here. Let's see. These are kind of mixed up here. Okay, so that's, when you look at that now, can you kind of understand what this plan is? This is the plan of God for every believer, and this is where He wants you to get over here to hope number 3, and also then have surpassing grace blessings for all eternity. What percentage of the believers do you think is going to reach that? Is it a huge percentage? What do you think? No. Look at all these empty chairs here. I'm teaching to you because you're interested. You want to know it, and you are building what is going to happen in the forever. And yet people don't care. They got so many things to do. Now, it's up to them. My job is to teach and to bring these things out and teach accurately. That's my job. And I'm so glad that you're here. There's people, I don't know, there's probably people on the internet as well. But the whole thing is look how concerned God is about you and me. He's got His own plan for each one of us. This is the universal plan, but He even gets into the point to where He knows everything about you, and that's what the escrow blessings are. He knew you. He made a plan specifically for you, just molded just for your life. And if you just even get to where we have blessings in time, then he releases those. He's just constantly trying to do everything he can in order to show His love and His power and be closer to Him, and yet very few people will ever see this because they, most of the time they're not really interested in it. They're just too busy. Okay, let's see. Is that the right wrong one? Okay, well, yeah, it's time anyway. Let me close this. I hope that even though this might be hard to understand, by the way, this is on the website. In fact, I have 2 more charts that are very similar to this. I just like this chart better. And they're on visuals. You can go to our website, it says visuals, and you can go, there's 2 or 3 of them. And these are, how could anybody say, oh, well, I don't care about that, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. That's a person that's hollow. That's a person that doesn't really have a relationship with God. Just because you are a believer doesn't mean that your relationship with God is even there. But God, it doesn't matter to God. He's still going to give you logistical grace, and He's still got the plan for you to have surpassing grace blessings in eternity if you want them and you trust Him. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to be phenomenal. So, all right, let me give a little water here. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of your plan. No one other than you would be able to make a plan and explain it and for people to look at that plan and say, boy, this is what I want. And then you take us step by step by step, going to from unbelievers to a believer, and as believers, we need to get more and more doctrine so we can understand what this life is about, so we can prepare for the next life. That is what we should be. What should be on our minds, because we don't know how long we're going to last on this earth, but we do want to glorify you and be obedient and faithful, good and faithful servants. That's what this life is about. So we have this plan that you have made for us. Pray that we will. We don't have to be able to know every little part of that plan, but the main thing is that we want to keep moving forward because of the imputations that you've made for all of us. Most people aren't going to go very far, but sometimes they do. So we thank you for this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I turn?